Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When your team's off to a 2-0 start, man, is life good. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All questions you may have had in the offseason, Pearl, you get early answers. This guy's going to be doing this. This guy's been doing that. New coordinators come in. All right, this looks like it's working. But we know sometimes these early starts can be a bit of fool's gold. So today we're going to take our picks for which 2-0 team do you think is really just hanging on for dear life, and reality is about to hit them square in the jaw.
All right. It's only two games, small sample size, but I'm going to dig deep into the analytics and realize that the Pittsburgh Steelers have done nothing on offense. They're 30th in yardage. They're in the bottom five in scoring. They cannot win football games by scoring 15 points a game, Maggie. You're shaking your head. You might be right. How many games are you going to win if you cannot get to 20 points? The thing about the Steelers, look at their schedule. It starts off super easy. The first half is great. They'll probably build some more wins. But then they get the entire AFC North all over their schedule in the second half of the season. And you know where Mike Tomlin always lands, right around 9-8, 10-7. They're probably going to have this gaudy early season record and come back to earth just based on their schedule. Because it's been a great start at Atlanta, whose offense is clearly finding itself. And Denver, Bo Nix doesn't know how to play quarterback yet.
Right.
I just think that's a definition of fool's gold. We're seeing a gaudy 2-0 record that's not real.
You're right about weeks 11 through 18. It's nothing but AFC North opponents. And then two non-AFC North opponents are your Philadelphia Eagles and the Chiefs. So,
well, the Eagles might be it's at Philly, so that's tricky. I mean, the Eagles might be out of it by then. But the Chiefs, that's not good.
Or the Eagles might fire their coach and find some mojo. I don't know. So that's kind of a TBD. So I went back last night and watched the Steeler game against the Broncos because I feel like I was like, I need to just see this again because maybe I'm not seeing, yesterday I said my top five things I'm already sick of this NFL season after 2 weeks, and my second choice was the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were number two. The offense is number two on my list, but the defense is great. 10 penalties in that game. There actually were maybe two or three explosive plays that Justin Fields that could have really changed not only his final stat line, which was dreadful, 13 of 20 for 117 yards. You're right, that's not going to win you a lot of games in the NFL. But there were a couple explosive plays where he actually did try to go to the middle of the field, and they got wiped out because of penalties. I mean, if that's something that can be addressed and cleaned up, maybe Fields starts to look a little bit better because we know he is going to be starting next week.
By the way, have you ever seen a quarterback overthrow people more than Bo Nix overthrows people?
I thought you were about to say Fields.
Does Bo Nix have the strongest arm in the history of the world? I see, like, by 40 yards, he was overthrowing a 12-yard pass. It was one of the most unbelievable performances I've ever seen in my life.
I know. I was thinking betting-wise, I'm like, do I just go through Denver's entire schedule and bet the under on every single game that they're playing in?
Yeah, did you see also when Sean Payton grabbed the guy? I felt like that was not... some guy had an idiotic penalty for the Broncos, and Sean Payton was going to murder him on the sideline. Anyway, that is actually relevant to the Steelers. Like, did they just beat one of the bottom three teams in the NFL and the Broncos? So what do we judge here? I mean, the Ravens lost to the Chiefs.
Yep.
And then they mysteriously blew it against the Raiders. I think the Bengals have lost really close to the Chiefs. I just think if you look at the schedule, the Steelers 2-0, I watch all three teams, right? Two of you. Like, it doesn't feel like the Steelers are head and shoulders above those other teams. In fact, I still put Baltimore and Cincinnati ahead of them.
They actually have a really big game. To me, Pittsburgh has a really big game this weekend, so it's their home opener, and they're going to be playing against the Chargers. And depending, if you think the Bengals are actually going to come back and be really good, I know you picked them for the Super Bowl. Yeah. If you think the Ravens are just getting through some early season, let Lamar say we don't have our mojo. If they're actually going to right the ship, this could be a big game if the Steelers and the Chargers end up fighting for wild card spots. Like this.
That's another team that we don't know anything.
We know nothing about them.
We don't have the slightest idea who the Chargers are.
Yeah. We're doing 2-0 teams in the NFL that we think are fool's gold.
By the way, we should bet the under on that game because the Chargers have not. They are slow and plodding on offense, and the Steelers are slow and plodding on offense. I'm curious. That might be a tough watch.
Probably. But I want to know a little more about what's going on with Justin Herbert's like leg. That's a stay away for me right now in terms of betting, but I am very curious.
I think Justin Fields might have more yards passing than Justin Herbert, believe it or not. Herbert's one bottom in the league.
The best thing has been Quentin Johnston came alive last week. Again, it's against the Panthers, so everyone should look good against the Panthers. But he caught a nice touchdown as a former number one pick, first round pick for the Chargers. And Joe Alt looks really good. He's their tackle.
And obviously J.K. Dobbins.
And J.K. Dobbins is rejuvenated.
But who's your 2-0 team?
Okay, so my 2-0 team, and this is going to be unpopular because I don't want to be that person who goes in and rains on the fun parade and they are a city known for their parades. It's the Saints, guys. I hate to say it, and I don't want to be that person. EJ's already disgusted with
2-0. Like, wait, are you saying that they're not going to go 17-0? Maybe you're right. Maybe. But what do you mean, Saints?
Saints are amazing. And I love watching them, and it's fun. And watching Alvin Kamara do his thing is very fun. And watching Derek Carr score a touchdown, get up from the pile, and hit the Michael Jackson, like, hoo-hoo. That was something I wasn't expecting. But the problem is that Derek Carr has been here before. And I got to give a tip of the cap to the Associated Press because they did the legwork on this. But Derek Carr has been 2-0 and looked great three other times in his career and not made the playoffs those three times. In 2017, they started 2-0. They only won four games the rest of the season.
Did he get hurt?
I don't think so. 2020, they start 2-0. They finish 8-8. Last year, they started 2-0. They had a winning record, but they missed the playoffs. So I think.
Yeah, but he got hurt last year
for sure. Okay, but he still played.
Yeah, but he was a completely different player.
So for whatever reason, I don't know if I can trust this. Obviously, the 40 points a game, guys, like that's going to come down. But I hate to be that person because I know everyone's. I know, EJ. Why are you so mad?
By the way, because it's New Orleans. Who doesn't love New Orleans?
I love
Bourbon
New Orleans.
Street, the food.
It's my favorite place to visit.
And then Super Bowl this year. That's where we're going. You're already getting the people mad now. Like, we got a long way to go, Maggie. We can't be turning on them this early.
My best friend lives in New Orleans. I love New Orleans.
My family, my married family, half of them are from New Orleans. This is like, I can't believe we're doing this.
I'm sorry. Listen, it could be the Bills. Do you want me to do the case for the Bills? The Bills at Baltimore, at Houston, at the New York Jets. This could turn into 2-3 very, very easily. Plus, the Bills have a very desperate Jacksonville Jaguars team coming in on Monday night because this could be the Jags season on the line.
Bills have won the AFC 47 years in a row. The Bills will be fine. Let's get back to the Saints for a second. Obviously, Derek Carr is super comfortable in this offense.
Looks great.
Remember they were 12-4 with the Raiders that one year?
Yeah.
The ball never hits the ground when Derek Carr is on a heater. The question is, can this heater last? They play the Eagles this week. The Eagles, there is not a single quarterback in the NFL who can't torch that secondary. He's going to go off in this game. I don't know if they win the game because Jalen Hurts will probably try and run on every single down. But I just don't think the Derek Carr thing is going to slow down. Kamara will get hurt. I've had him on my fantasy team a million times. That's a given. But Derek Carr is for real. If he is healthy, which is always an issue, really fully healthy, the guy is a very accurate passer.
Okay, so what you're telling me is you think Derek Carr, who's been in the league for 11 years, is going to have, is this like a Rich Gannon thing where all of a sudden he's winning an MVP like later into his career
or something
like that? Like, what? We're asking about fool's gold. I'm not saying that the Saints aren't improved. I'm not saying that they can't make the playoffs. But, guys, do we really think this is going to continue?
Well, I mean, Carr is a four-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's had a lot of success.
I think the reason
what's
why
his playoff record?
Not good.
He was a Raiders quarterback.
0-1.
Yeah, one game they lost. He wasn't that great.
Yeah, but he was their best year. He was hurt, and they had to go with Mike McGlinchey.
Yes.
No,
not Mike McGlinchey. Yeah,
Connor Cook, I thought it was, or one of those guys. Mike McGlinchey's the offensive lineman.
Well, who's the Penn State quarterback? It was, do I have the wrong? Yeah.
I thought it was Connor Cook from Michigan State.
It could have been Connor Cook. Sorry.
Matt McGloin, maybe?
Oh, I thought it was Matt McGloin. You're right. Is it Connor Cook who started that game?
My memory is failing me on this one. I'm sorry, I can't.
It was like, that was a long time ago, actually, because he was in his second year, I think. Mike McGlinchey. They had to go to a left tackle to play quarterback. That's how bad it was.
The Raiders are weird.
But Derek Carr has always been good, not great. I mean, honestly, remember, you're a Jets fan, EJ. A lot of people wanted him here in New York. And actually, after Rodgers got hurt, everyone was like, we should have gone with Derek Carr.
I saw people after the first half of week two saying, we should have had Derek Carr here.
I was one of the people who said you should have had Derek Carr. Steadier ship.
Yeah, but I mean, this year. I mean, I'm talking about after seeing the Titans game. They were watching after the Jets struggled. They were like, man, we should have Derek Carr here, not Aaron Rodgers. And and I get what Maggie's saying. I know I was joking a little bit earlier. But the only reason why I want to believe in the Saints is because even if the offense comes down a little bit.
The defense
is great.
And but who have they played?
Dallas is a good team.
No,
I know
I get
we
it.
Joke about them, but that's a 12-win team 3 years in a row.
I know,
and they
but
just mollywop them.
I get it, and it's a great win about Dallas. I don't have Dallas making the playoffs this year. So, again, that was a very impressive win. You win in Dallas, regular season, really.
Bottom line is, for me, the biggest issue is they have an easy schedule. I mean, they're in the NFC South, which is pretty good this year, but still, like, the Saints. I'm not talking about Derek Carr MVP, but the Saints really have, now you see it, if they can stay healthy, they have a great path to the playoffs because this schedule is easy.
Yeah, you're right. It is. I mean, you're at Kansas City in a couple weeks. That's not going to be easy. I think Tampa now, some of the division games might be a little bit crazier.
They destroyed Tampa at the end of last year.
That's true. But were they playing full? Yeah, 47. It was like 47.
Yeah, they were both playing for something. The division was still up for grabs. They have like a lot of Rams and Giants and Commanders on here.
That's true.
They look good in that shape. Yes, Derek Carr is not going to win MVP, to your point.
I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad girl.
Well, you want to do a show bet that they make the playoffs? Because I will definitely take that. We're going to New Orleans. There's a lot of food down there.
No. I love New Orleans. I know no one's going to like buy my
po' boy
appeal.
I'll buy you some po' boys. Can Maggie eat 15 po' boys in an hour?
Or 100, what's it called?
Beignets?
Beignets. No, not doing anything like that. Because you want to know why I actually love that food so much? I don't want to ruin it for myself. I couldn't eat pizza or jelly for like months after I did some of those challenges.
Yeah. What about like, I don't know, like 10 bowls of gumbo?
Do you want me to die?
10 bowls of gumbo? That's relatively healthy.
Love
gumbo?
But
have you ever seen anyone make gumbo?
It's like rice and fish and broth.
Butter? Don't look at the amount of butter
Sausage. That's
in gumbo.
Gumbo is relatively healthy. Butter, not going to kill you.
I think
it's way better than beignets.
I think your stomach, though, is going to expand. All that rice.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, you eat it. You're like, this is delicious. And then you feel so full afterwards. But I got to tell you, compared to beignets, you better hope for gumbo.
Chris is in Birmingham. I've offended him deeply. He's a Saints fan. I called them their 2-0 start fool's gold. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, I am just fine. You did not offend me. You did exactly what I said was going to happen. Ugh, I almost want to kiss you for that. It's beautiful hearing it. Because guess what? I said exactly this. You know what's going to happen? They're going to fuck. They're not give us any kind of attention like you did when we were 9-8 last year up till now. And at least you're the only one I've seen consistent about it. And all these NFL pundits, whether it be Rich Eisen and everyone, they're just like, you know, saying we're the bell cow of the NFL. Pushing up to us, kissing like a groupie out of nowhere, kissing up to us, and I'm like,
not me, Chris. Like, I'll always keep it 100 with you, as the kids say.
Thank you. At least you're consistent. And all of a sudden, I'm like, who are you people? Where were you last year? We was in here shooting in the gym.
You know,
no, you know, it's perfect. It's perfectly ironic when you think about it, right? Like when Derek Carr did the little Michael Jackson kick. We should do a seance and resurrect them because in a way to perform. What's the song I want to say? All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Chris, phenomenal call. I am being consistent. I did not think the Saints were going to be a playoff team this year. They're off to this great start. We're asking which 2-0 team is fool's gold, and I'm telling you, I think that the Saints can't keep this up. Now, Parloff, you make a great point. The schedule is helping them.
Yeah, they're the Vegas favorites to win the division because of their last place schedule. Actually, they weren't last place last year. Whatever,
they
I don't
were
know.
Second place.
Yeah, whatever happened here, things really worked out well because they got a lot of injured teams on the horizon.
Nate's in Alaska, big Bucks fan living in Alaska. Nate, that's got to throw a little wrench into your schedule every day. How are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't realize you were going to put me on so fast.
You're up, pal.
Well, actually, first off, this is my first time calling you guys. I know who you guys are, and I catch it every now and then. But I just wanted to say I hate the Saints, obviously.
Yeah, Bucks fan, sure.
I think it's a bunch of hoo-ha, and all that who-dat crap is, it's not going to keep going. They're gonna crash and burn, especially the way that Baker is playing, and we have a healthy Evans and a healthy Godwin. I don't think they win that division at all.
Nate, so what time are the Bucks games on? If it's a 1 o'clock Eastern start, what time is that for you in Alaska?
9 a.m. and it's miserable, especially if they lose.
Oh yeah, you got the rest of the day to sort of sit around and stew about it.
Yeah, I don't like to wake up and, you know, hit the sauce that early.
Hey Nate, where are you in Alaska?
I'm in Anchorage.
What's the bear situation in your backyard? Do you see a lot of them?
No.
Darn it. Yeah, I'm sure in the city.
I see way more moose than I see bear.
Really?
The funny thing is actually that you even say that the first bear I ever saw. So I'm 36 years old. The first bear I ever saw was on like a main street that was actually leaning against a KFC.
Good place to be.
Just chilling by a KFC?
Just waiting for Deion Sanders to walk out?
I thought it was a giant dog, and he was on all fours like on a KFC window. And I was like, that's a big-ass dog. Like,
can we clip that? I would love it. You know, that's
can
a smart
I
bear.
Actually ask?
Yeah.
Can I ask, is it Perloff? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, Perloff.
All right, so you're an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can I switch it up? Because now you're gonna find it weird because I'm a huge Philadelphia Flyers fan my entire life.
Got it.
So I know that you guys are doing the one thing. What do you think, how do you think the Flyers are going to be this year with Mishkov coming and everything like that? Are you excited? Are you a big hockey fan?
Well, unfortunately, Nate, I have so many thoughts on the Flyers, and I was telling Maggie about the second line the other day, but we have to go to a break, so I'm going to have to say that. No, Nate, I don't know hockey that well. I do have a friend.
Okay, that's all right. Hey, thank you for having me on, guys.
And Nate, we do have a legendary friend also named Nate. Nate Thompson from Alaska is former Flyer, is a good buddy of the show, by the way. So we do have some hockey
speaker. Does he call in? Yeah, he's from Anchorage.
Yeah, he's from Anchorage. I know he's buying a place up there. So, so Nate, we know our hockey a little bit.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, like once again, thank you for having me on, guys. And like I said, the Saints aren't going anywhere. The Bucks are taking that division.
Nate, thank you so much. Good call all around.
That's a big-ass dog.
Flyers talk with Perloff. A little premature. But Nate Thompson is the only person in the history of the show to come on and remove his teeth.
Yeah.
Epic
Nate Thompson,
moment.
Epic Alaska athlete. He lives to go back up there because he's a huge golf fan, and you can play in the summer in Alaska. You can play golf all night long. Just have to watch out for those bears leaning against the KFC.
It's really amazing. I can't imagine walking down the street and seeing a moose. Like, at some point, you get used to it. I'm sure you live in Alaska, but that would freak me out.
You got to be careful with your car. Obviously, our friends in Idaho know all about this. Those are real car killers. I mean, you could actually get in a lethal accident if you run into a moose.
Yeah.
Trust me. Well, you don't know about my Elk City, Idaho experience, do you? I talk about it on Boise Radio all the time. I spent 2 weeks of a summer in Elk City, Idaho, and they're like, be very careful when you're driving because either the moose or the caribou or some animal will totally destroy your car.
And did you hit one?
No, I didn't. I was going 3 miles an hour. You know how I am, Maggie.
Yeah, Perloff's actually on a bike. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We're asking which 2-0 team do you think is fool's gold? We'll get back to you in just a moment.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. It's void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I've made a discovery at the household the other day. My kids, who are 12 and 14, love 80s music. I think 80s music might be universal to all generations. And I was a kid for this music and I love it, but I feel like even, who doesn't like 80s music, right? That's like a safe middle ground for everybody can agree on.
I love 80s music. I just have one song that I really dislike, and it's one that's on every 80s mix and gets played a lot, and I really despise...
Wait. Can we guess?
Sure.
Bogus, you're good at this stuff.
I am not.
You're bitter and hate everything. What song does Maggie dislike?
I think it was in the 80s. I don't think this was the 90s.
Taylor Swift, not in the 80s, so she's out.
80s.
What is
the 80s song?
I hate it. And I'll give you a hint.
It's not Take On Me.
No. That's funny. And it's actually in the Mario Brothers movie now. So my kid knows the song.
Yeah, like the kids love 80s music.
So it was made very, even more popular by a famous TV show.
Is it The Air in the Night?
The Sopranos song.
Yeah. Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Capital H hate. I know, Nico, a little part of you just died. I can't stand it. And now I live in New Jersey. So they basically play it every time you go over the bridge.
Just a small town.
Don't.
What? How can you?
I don't like it, and it's at every
how can you
bar
not like that
and
song?
Every restaurant
that
on
song,
the East Coast.
That song is amazing.
It's not.
You
it's
never
amazing.
Liked it, or
I never actually used to listen to it. Now it's just gotten played so much.
Okay. What do you not like about it? I don't understand. It's a perfectly likable song. It's a great song.
Sounds like every other Journey song, though.
No, I think it's a little. The other Journey songs are even softer.
What's that?
The Journey is like the softest rock band of all time. That song, though, is kind of cool. No?
I just don't like it. I can't tell
you. All right, Paul. Anybody else have an issue with Don't Stop Believing over there? EJ's probably never even.
Why would I have an issue with that?
Yeah. Nico?
I love that song.
Yeah, you and everybody else. You also don't like Sweet Caroline, am I remembering?
I don't.
How do you not like that song?
It's not as bad as the Don't Stop Believing. It's Don't Stop Believing 1 and then Quite a Bit of Time and then Sweet Caroline.
So you basically don't like 80s music.
No, I do like it.
Or
I
fun. Love it.
Take On Me, which song?
I grew up with Madonna, Whitney Houston, all of that stuff. I love it.
I do feel like the 80s has a certain sound.
Synthesizer.
Yeah, I think it's not for everyone. I would say the 90s actually is more, I think everybody can get behind.
90s?
I think so.
I think that's a hot take.
Obviously, I mean, the thing about music is every year it becomes less universal. It gets spread out. So, like, there are not a lot of, like, common songs that everybody, because now there's no radio like there used to be.
Now it's just women somewhere between the age of 25 and 35 singing about breakups. That's the songs now.
Yeah.
I feel like 90s, you got boy bands, New Jack Swing.
You got Nirvana. You got Rage Against the Machine. No, 90s is good. 90s is good. But, I do like 80s. I just don't like Don't Stop. There's not one song in a whole decade of songs that you don't like. There's not one 80s song you don't like.
I love the traditional 80s songs. I kind of like them all. Come On, Eileen, Bring It On, Take On Me, all these songs. Remember we did the one hit wonder bracket? It was all 80s songs.
It was
they
a
were
lot.
All amazing.
Okay, I remember driving to WrestleMania when I met you guys in Philly. We all met in Philadelphia to go to WrestleMania, and I listened to Phil Collins the whole way. And I believe you made fun of me about it, Pearl. And I was like, he's got banger after banger after banger. And
right, that's like 80s music. Like,
exactly.
Well,
I think
that was a problem. I think you said he had bangers. I think that's what Perloff was like. I don't know if it's around as bangers.
Guys, look up the catalog. All right, now I'm going to get
yesterday. Yeah, actually, the other day, like you're on this Paul Simon kick, and
well,
like
that's
talking
not
about 80s.
Though.
Yeah, but you right? But what decade is it? You're like, did you know Paul Simon and Garfunkel were around in the 60s? I'm like, yes.
I didn't say that.
Yes, well, no, but you were surprised. You're like, yeah. I mean, I like the Diamond. Like, you could call
I'm going
me
to
out.
Graceland. It's like one of the greatest songs ever.
What year do you think that was? That was pretty old too.
I don't know what year that came out.
But anyway, like...
My brother makes fun of me because I like 80s Grateful Dead. I get it, maybe, but I...
No. 80s music. Don't give me 80s Grateful Dead. Like, the pop, big pop songs, like Flock of Seagulls and, like, all this, like...
I like that stuff. I just don't like Journey's Don't Stop Believing.
I can't believe this. Nico, on the other side of the glass, is, like, quite young. I could tell, like, he likes 80s music.
Were your parents born in the 80s, by the way?
Yeah.
My dad was born in 68. My mom was born in 70. So they were in high school in the 80s.
What is like, do you like, what's your favorite genre?
Favorite genre, I guess like rock, pop, kind of like, I don't know.
From what era? From now?
Yeah, like I like 80s music, but I also like 2010s pop a lot.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Strokes, the...
That was 2000s, right?
Yeah, I guess that was
like Bruno Mars type music.
Yeah. Ah, gotcha. Right. You're going to be able to see Bruno Mars because if the reports are true that he's in like $100 million of debt, he'll be performing in Las Vegas from now until the end of time.
I saw one of those Vegas shows. It is awesome.
I'm sure. He was great at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But
he needs to be awesome.
He was at like 5 Super Bowls, wasn't he?
I remember the one in New York.
3. The one in Jersey was great.
Particularly good.
Yeah.
How do we get on this? Oh, I don't like Don't Stop Believing. Oh, your kids like 80s music. Well, that's exciting.
Well, yeah. When they're real little, the only thing that we could... That you can't put on your own music around your kids, right? Because they do not like the heavier sounds. So it was show tunes early on, you know, do a little Cats, and then we tune it to go like, oh, okay. They'll listen to Madonna, because otherwise it's like Rafi or something unlistenable.
I would beg for Rafi.
Well, do they like Britney Spears or like Christina Aguilera? Like, what about that era?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
No. The one Britney song they probably like.
Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah, Oops, I Did It Again.
That hurts my heart.
They like big pop songs with hooks. And
those
like,
are big pop songs with hooks. That's why
but they don't need iconic. Them now because of Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo. Like that's what they're listening to. Although there is a little bit of a boy band resurgence now because I think, because of Deadpool, right?
Well, yeah. The opening scene of Deadpool is Deadpool. I don't want to spoil it, but it's very much a boy band tribute.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
And it's like a Fortnite thing too. Like it's got a little bit of a pop culture push all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah,
I think there will always be boy bands.
Yeah,
but they're listening to like Backstreet Boys again now.
Oh,
yeah,
after
the movie, I immediately threw the song that's played into my like gaming playlist. I was like, now I want to hear this all the time, and I'm always gonna think of Deadpool because it's funny.
Let's go to, as riveting as this conversation is, no, it is. Let's go to Andy in Arizona, who has an unanswerable question, but we're going to try. Andy, what's your question?
I think you mean Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. Sorry, it says Andy on the screen. Eddie, good morning, sir. Apologies.
Good morning. Just on the Raiders and how you guys feel about them, and, you know, you got Gardner Minshew doing well, Max Crosby, Brock Bowers. And just your guys' insight. And Maggie, don't stop believing.
Eddie, you sandbagger. No, thank you. Thank you, Eddie in Arizona. A question. Are the Raiders good? Pearl, you want to take a stab at this one?
Two words. Beats me. Honestly, this is a hard... I still don't understand what on earth happened to the Ravens. How did the Ravens lose this game to the Raiders? I have no idea. No, I don't. I think, what were they, 7-10 last year? I think they come in right around within one win of that. Either way, 7-10, yeah, 8-9.
But is this something to build on? Because I think for a while we were talking about the Raiders and you should trade Davante Adams and trade Max Crosby. Like, is there something here to build upon for Antonio Pierce?
No. I mean, Davante Adams is how old?
31? 30?
Right. And Max Crosby is how old? So
he looked amazing, though. I mean, these guys still look good. Davante Adams had 9 catches for 115 yards or something like that.
Crosby's 27. Yeah, but I mean, it's quite top heavy. You have to have like years of good drafting, and they're still digging out from the Mike Mayock era. The problem there is ownership. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take.
No, but Brock Bowers looks like it's a good pick, and they need a quarterback. That's for sure. You can't just keep rolling with Gardner Minshew, but maybe there is something solid. I was not a big believer.
So do you see, you answer the question, like, is there something for Antonio Pierce to build on?
Yeah.
Do you think he's the guy who's going to turn this thing around? We'll get them back to the playoffs and...
You know, after they lost the first game against the Chargers, I was like, oh, this could be a very long season. But they did show you a little something in Baltimore. That's a tough place to win. They came back from being down 10 points. Like, maybe there is something here. Maybe Pierce has them playing a little bit tougher. Maybe they're a little, more focused team.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since 2002. So what are we talking about here?
By the way, they play Carolina this weekend, which obviously changed a little bit now with the Andy Dalton news, but I still think that's a W for them. Bogish has headlines. Hello.
And these headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Are Clemson and FSU and the ACC now working on mending their relationship? Multiple outlets say the conference and the two schools are talking again about revenue sharing. Nothing apparently imminent, but the conference could pay out more money to the more successful schools in exchange for the Tigers and Noles dropping their lawsuit against the league. This could also change the conference's grant of rights, which currently runs through 2036, and what's basically keeping the two schools in the conference to begin with.
Honestly, if Miami is going to have all this NIL, though, and they're going to keep getting the best quarterback in the transfer portal or something, wouldn't that, I mean, if they could keep that up for a couple of years, wouldn't the SEC want Miami?
I'm sure the SEC does want Miami. I'm sure the SEC wants all of them, although they say they don't. But why wouldn't you want those kind of programs?
I'm just saying even before FSU now.
The goal, the big one is North Carolina, right? Isn't that the prize of the ACC? And I'm not sure why.
But because it's a different state?
Yes, because they want to get in as many states as possible. Also, obviously, that would be a powerhouse in basketball. And then you probably get Duke, too, if you want them. Then you're by far the greatest basketball conference of all time.
These have been good times for Miami when it comes to money, but money has often been a problem, them being a private school.
Yeah.
I guess if I was the SEC, I would say your money is good now. Like, will it be good in 10 years, 5 years? Like this has been a very recent like push from the outside to bring money in.
Well, where's Nevin Shapiro? Is he still in jail? Sorry.
He was doing a podcast recently. I was like, wow, we're talking to this guy? I couldn't believe it. And then I'm like, why are they even talking to this guy about Miami football? Like, anybody can come
he
back
He has
now.
A podcast about Miami Hurricanes
He was on a podcast.
I was like we have jumped the shark.
And then he's talking about the team like he supports them. So I'm like, are you serious, bro?
I mean, he invested a lot.
Yeah, and then he threw the program under the bus.
Well, that was only to save his own skin.
Sold everyone out. And he still went to jail for it. Didn't even do anything.
It's where you guys began.
Maybe I would listen to a podcast with him. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You listen to almost any podcast, it sounds like.
I've got some time on my hands. Just in the car.
Yeah. And murders and unsolved mysteries and
stuff like that.
Yeah. It's where you guys began the show. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said Monday Tua wasn't going on IR pending further info on his latest concussion. Apparently, new info came in yesterday because Tua is now on injured reserve, meaning he'll miss at least 4 games. And the Chiefs have signed Kareem Hunt to their practice squad following Isaiah Pacheco's broken leg. Juan Soto did a lot with one swing last night in Seattle.
The pitch. Swing and a high drive driven deep into left center field. Moving back Rodriguez. He turns and it's gone. It's a home run. The 200th career home run for Juan Soto. Check off T-Mobile Park. Soto's homered in all 30 of them. And he does it at the ripe age of 25. It's now 6-1 Yankees as he goes yard to left center.
Justin Shackles, Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. Believe they gave you all the details. Homer number 40 this season. 200 of Soto's career. And he's now gone deep in every single ballpark in the majors. But then he said this.
What a best way to go to free agency with all 30 homers, all 30 ballparks, checking my list.
So was that Soto confirming he'll test the open market this winter and not just re-sign with the Yankees?
I was like, hey, what did Susan say there, by the way? Did she say he did it?
He did it, yeah.
Did what? The 200 home run?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also a homer in every ballpark.
Oh, okay. This is a weird line for Susan to pull up. But anyway, yeah, he's definitely going for as much money as humanly possible. He's going to have like the small GDP, GDP of a small country.
Liechtenstein?
Yeah, I would pay it for him too. By the way. Right. What is the latest? Like, is there any, do Yankees fans think that they're going to be able to have an advantage with him?
I think what the Yankee fans say and what they're hanging their hat on is it's, even if the Yankees don't come in with the biggest amount, like with, they don't beat every team by every last dollar and penny, that being a Yankee is better than the alternative.
Yeah, and pinning around Judge. But then Steinbrenner keeps throwing these random comments out about there's not infinity dollars and luxury tax and we got to pay other guys. So he keeps kind of, I don't know if he's like trying to grease the skids for an exit, like softening the blow now or what? But
do the Dodgers want him or no? I mean,
I'm sure everybody wants him. If the Dodgers have ability to sign another ridiculous contract, then there needs to be an investigation.
Well, they're not paying Ohtani.
But I mean, they're kind of still paying Ohtani.
Just eventually. See, Juan Soto would not take the deal from Washington that had apparently reportedly about a lot of deferred money.
Right, right. But they're deferring all the Ohtani money, so give that all to Soto now.
But they gave it to Yamamoto.
Yeah.
It gets the Dodgers. You know, if they want him, he's in blue.
I understand.
The Padres can't spend anymore, right?
So it's the Mets.
It'd be nice for the Mets to sign him. Yeah,
yeah, but the Mets have been talking. Like, have the Mets actually gotten anybody since?
No,
going
I know
out there?
This That's is the problem.
Well, they went after Verlander and Scherzer, and that didn't work out. This is a little different.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that being said, too, if the Dodgers want to outcompete the Mets, they definitely will.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. last night, by the way, the Yankees won this game 11-2 in Seattle, dropping their magic number for a playoff spot to 1. Their AL East lead on the Orioles is 4 because Baltimore took a 10-0 beating at home from the Giants. This is the Yankees' largest lead since early June. The New York Liberty clinched the top seed in the WNBA postseason with last night's 87-71 win in Washington. The Mystics now a game behind the Dream for the last spot because Atlanta topped Chicago 86-70. And finally, the three of us all know Pablo Torre. You guys from SI, he and I went to the same high school. If you listening don't know who he is, worked at ESPN after SI. He's now got a very successful podcast. He is super talented. He's led a very charmed life, but this might be the pinnacle. Pablo is on Celebrity Family Feud on a team with awesome chef David Chang, and Pablo went second in Fast Money the final round. They needed 146 points from his 5 answers to get the win.
We need 37 points. Name a coin you throw into a fountain to make a wish. You said the penny.
Yes.
Survey said.
Oh my God.
Why? So the female voice in there was Chrissy Teigen lamenting the wait for the answer, which was 65 people picked Penny, giving Pablo's team the win. He had 3 number one answers out of his 5. One of his 5 was also a 0. It might be one of the greatest Family Feud moments of all time.
It was great. It was thrilling, not just because we know Pablo, but because I've always said that as far as television high points go, the person winning the car on The Price is Right, I thought, has always been the pinnacle. But I might have to rethink that because winning Family Feud in this way is so exciting.
All right, so I would still argue that the double Price is Right winner, when you win both Showcase Showdowns, like that's the whale. That's the thing that so few people have done.
Yeah, but Bogus, a new car.
I know, I get it.
Nothing tops a new car.
But how about you land on 100 on the spinning wheel? That's exciting too.
Yeah,
but I don't even remember what that means, but that's really good.
It just means you go to the Showcase Showdown
and you win,
and maybe you win 10 grand or something.
Yeah, no, you don't automatically get the Showcase Showdown, but you get 100, do you?
Yeah, because you're trying to get closest to a dollar.
Oh, but I guess somebody could also match you, and you could.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. A new car is like the top of the line TV moment, but now maybe Family Feud is that moment. And is there anyone who's more suited for their job than Steve Harvey hosting Family Feud? He's so much better than any of the other guys. Like, no disrespect to Richard Dawson, and
well, Richard Dawson, like.
I wasn't around for that. I thought it's weird. He kisses everybody on the lips. That is odd.
The guy that we had growing up was Ray Combs.
I don't remember.
He took over for Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Richard Dawson was around a long time.
That's the guy I remember.
Richard Dawson was actually a good actor. Wasn't he in he's a old school. Wasn't he in that movie in the World War II? Anyway,
that now
Steve Harvey. he was a prisoner.
Give me a minute.
The Great Escape, I think he was in, with Steve McQueen. Anyway, Steve Harvey's got one amazing move. When someone says something really stupid and he just stops and stares at him for 10 seconds, it works every time. It hasn't gotten old in 30 years.
That's what I'm saying. I think that he's the best at it. It's funny because Nico would have never known who Richard Dawson is because Nico was born in 2002. He used to kiss all the women. This is in the 70s, on the lips. Grandmas, girls in their 20s, hopefully. Moms, right in front of the dads.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is like the husband or dad's reaction when that happens?
I don't know. I think everyone's drunk. It doesn't matter.
You know what you're signing up for.
So, by the way,
I was thinking he had to have like cold sore. Who knows what Richard Dawson had going on?
So right he on did the his lips. Last show in '95, and apparently the ratings have never been the same since Dawson left, according to this.
Well, TV's also never been the same.
Yeah, since but no, I mean Dawson was a goat of game show hosting. The Kissing on the Lips thing. Yeah,
doesn't
I don't know.
Age well.
Nobody, I don't think people. He was popular.
Oh, I know.
I mean, he's like him.
People
Pat wanted
Sajak, to get kissed.
Trebek, like those are the legends of the game.
It's not just about him kissing them. It's
Bob
like,
Barker. I mean, well, Bob yeah. Barker.
Yeah, he's the goat to me.
Well, that was the new car. Was Rod Rodney? Right? Was the
was that his name? I never knew exactly what his name was.
Rod Rodney,
something like that.
Something like that.
I think Richard Dawson was close. Pretty close to Bob Barker.
Well, Trebek is.
Yeah.
I still think those two guys were probably pretty close.
Do I do Mount Rushmore of game show hosts?
I'm just saying popular. Now, who obviously Trebek is the
Trebek
goat.
And Sajak are both fantastic.
Yeah. But I think Richard Dawson and Bob Barker is almost as iconic.
What about Chuck Woolery?
Chuck Woolery, super iconic. Dating Game, and also he had another big show.
Love Connection, I thought. Right?
And Scrabble.
Who's the one who just, did like, no Whammies? Who is that?
I don't know. I remember Press Your Luck, but I don't know who hosted it. Google. Thinking.
Stand by.
Wait, what are we doing here? How do we get to this? Oh, Pablo Torre.
Yeah.
By the way, what's the other thing that you throw into a fountain?
David Chang said a quarter.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Fancy David Chang.
I thought you famously threw a penny into a fountain, like pennies in the fountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always.
Anyway. A quarter? I'm not wasting a quarter.
Yeah. I wish ain't coming true. Well, maybe. All right. Top five game show hosts. We'll do that back of the envelope next. Also, more football, including we check in with the Cowboys. Should Philly still be favored over Dallas in the division, considering what we saw on Monday night? Get to that next.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Billy Joel on the 80s music list, but he definitely belongs. Uptown Girl, My Life. Talked about 80s music. I don't like the song Don't Stop Believing by Journey. But enough about me. Let's get to you. We asked a question earlier. We got into this discussion. We don't generally talk about the news a lot on this show, but we did get into the discussion about Diddy, and the fact that he's in jail right now because of all these indictments. And then we asked to bring it to sports. Have you ever stopped rooting for someone or stopped listening to their music or wouldn't watch their movies because of things that happened in their personal life? Or are you able to kind of separate, as they say, the art from the artist? Stuart is in North Carolina. Has a story about this. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, guys, and great show as always. I'm sure I'm in the very, very small minority, but when the Browns signed Deshaun Watson, I was out.
Yeah.
And just to tell you, I grew up south of Cleveland. I was sitting in the end zone over 40 years ago in 40 below weather when Brian Sipes threw maybe the most famous interception in Browns history to Mike Davis of the Raiders. Sorry, Andrew, that was the year the Raiders beat the Eagles and Dick Vermeil in the Super Bowl. And the Browns probably felt like that was theirs. And I was there for that one. But Deshaun just felt different. And I understand the legal system, so I get all of the no indictment and that. But he's probably pretty fortunate he's not spending the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah. No.
And I, when the Browns signed Kareem Hunt, he had issues. I'm like, yeah, and I kind of took the mindset of what you're talking about. But again, Deshaun just felt different. And they were good as well. They didn't need Deshaun.
Well, I think the other part too, Stuart, and thank you for the call and explaining that whole thing. The other part about the Deshaun thing that felt particularly kind of, I don't know, just distasteful was when they signed him to the biggest contract at that time ever in the NFL in terms of guaranteed money. And then they structured it to make sure that he didn't get that he didn't lose a big chunk of it because they knew a suspension was coming. It's like, ugh, that was kind of felt kind of gross.
Yes, you're putting this on the Browns, but the Browns, you realize, had to spend that money to outbid a bunch of other teams.
I know.
Not just the Browns.
Josh is in Philly as another example of when it's tough to root for an athlete because of things in their personal life. We were talking about this with Diddy, with Puff Daddy, who is facing a world of legal issues now, sex trafficking, other things. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Good morning, Mr. Perloff.
Good morning.
It doesn't bother me too much with the two people I'm going to name because I think they both have changed their lives around. But I was wondering what you think of Michael Vick, and the best example to me is Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, it's a great question. Let's take Vick for a second. The one thing about Michael Vick where I'll give him a lot of credit, right? If you're a dog lover or even if you're not, that what he did was just awful. He has really lived his apology, though. He became a spokesperson for the ASPCA. He has, like, dedicated a good part of his life, at least from what we can tell on the outside, to making sure that, you know, he got educated and other people get educated about dog fighting.
That's true. But I got to tell you, Michael Vick might be the fastest turnaround from a scandal I've ever seen in my life. He was the most hated man in America. And then he throws a long bomb into Deshaun Jackson on Monday Night Football and everyone's back on board immediately. I always thought that was a little weird, but you're right. I think it's because he cooperated with SPCA and probably did more good. And also he's very, very popular, very likable athlete to start with.
Mike Tyson coming back from the rape conviction, serving jail time, is one of the most surprising, stunning comebacks that we've ever seen.
Well, actually, if you stunning, I'm not sure because everybody else seems to come back as well.
Coming up, it's Wednesday. Around here, we do the great debate. This one's going to have you laughing. We're sure about that. Don't move.